JG3.
Number 4B.
Okay, well, here we come to the Christian Science level, and we see now that thought never really, so to speak, descends to this level. It's an impact. This is important because it isn't often understood, and we certainly have it explained very well in Max's book, The Four Levels of Spiritual Consciousness, then that point that Christian Science is neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing towards it. We always go out from the point of perfection, knowing that our reason and logic is always from cause to effect. We begin with mind, which can only be understood through its idea and never its opposite matter. So important for us to keep practicing this, and it's so easy to digress and to fall back seeing the world from that two-valued logic standpoint. We have to just keep, well, how does Max say, pull up the socks or pull up the bootstraps or however he's taught us, to keep coming back to the original perfect standpoint and staying on it and adhering to it as best as our concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building allows us. But thank goodness being does have an impact on the relative, and therefore it is a mistake-friendly system. If it looks like our consciousness has wandered, and that's what an illusion or delusion or an error is, it's wandering or deviating from the truth, therefore we are brought back into line through that cybernetic self-operating system of being, which we see now those laws are just being their own infinite law, and that is a light. Where the light is, it knows no darkness. And therefore that happens, we call it a time sense, but just like that, we're brought back into the realm of the infinite one. Through this system that we have extended from the level of science itself to see how what we call a healing process takes place. So through that, the level of divine science, we see then that is a calculus of ideas going on. And yes, that is a calculus of ideas that are interrelated. As we saw, the interconnection there is love, because the overall tonality is an infinite principle, which on the level of divine science shows itself as love, because love means the all in all, the all-embracedness that is going on within being. So we see on the level of absolute Christian science that inner calculus of ideas is on the relationship of love. It won't let that system in any way break up, and therefore it resolves illusions. As we know now, divine love has met and always shall meet every human need. So the whole operation is for the glory of a divine principle, which is love, which is always maintaining that holistic view. And there is full compensation in the realm of love. We know that. So therefore, on the impact of consciousness never leaving the standpoint of ideas is then those ideas dissolve illusions. And certainly then it dissolves all what we would call physical error, physical problems, because we see then that in the sixth chapter we saw together that in the medicine chapter, all erroneous situations are reduced to mentality. We know that now through the Christ and its operation. In the first translation, where principle God presents what we are as idea, and through the second translation, takes us from the first degree of the physical, which he calls unreality, through the transitional stage of the mental into the spiritual. And she shows that the mental is the cause of all physical erroneous effects. That's why on the eight ordered steps to oneness with being, it starts without all is mental. We could say, well, why don't those steps start out with all is physical? And then It doesn't ring true in Christian Science because physical is an unreality. It is an effect of a mental cause. As I say, she shows that very clearly in the medicine section of the textbook, where she shows then that all mentality determines experience, and that it's our beliefs that make us ill. Whether those beliefs are operating on a universal, collective, individual, conscious, subconscious, or unconscious level, those beliefs that archetypal beliefs, those mythological beliefs that came up through basic irrationality, still linger within consciousness, and therefore it's those beliefs that have to be taken care of if they pop up. And so we would say to ourselves, naturally, then only ideas resolve beliefs. If beliefs are the cause of all physical effects, then we would say to ourselves, how would a surgeon's scalpel cut out a belief? It can't. How can a drug heal a belief? It can't. So when we really understand that all is mental and that mental is the cause of all in harmony, then we see that only ideas can heal, because it's only ideas that resolve universal, collective, individual, conscious, subconscious, and unconscious beliefs that are operating in mentality. So therefore, it becomes very, very easy for us to realize that we have a science of ideas. If we stick to those ideas, they naturally, through their laws of opposites, are going to analyze, uncover, and annihilate any claims against those ideas. Can we see how simple, I mean, a statement it is, that its mentality is the cause? And as Mrs. Eddy showed, that when she was near Death Valley, she learned, first of all, the psychological truth that all inharmony was reduced to a mentality, and that all matter was reduced to mortal mind. And then it set her thought to work in new channels and led up to the proposition that divine mind is all and matter is not. Had she just stuck with the discovery that everything was based on mentality in the metaphysical realm, she would have made already quite a discovery in the psychological realm, of which Carl Jung has been popularized about, what Mrs. Eddy talked way before Carl Jung was even born, how mentality determines experience, and that mentality is being affected then by these universal, collective, and unconscious beliefs. She saw that, but she saw that that wasn't her goal. She could have done quite a bit in the world. She would have been the forerunner to Carl Jung. But she went on and went into the new channels of the divine mind. She became way ahead of her time. We're only, she said, centuries would intervene before really her subject would be understood. Well, it's already been about 100 years, hasn't it? Since 1866 and 1875 when the textbook came out. So, first edition. So, therefore, we can see that we must see that ideas resolve illusions, because it is ideas then are going to resolve the belief, which resolves the effect. It's just a question of dealing and working always with the calculus of ideas. So, always the problem is a belief. It's never an ache or pain. It's some belief. Surfacing. The ache or pain is just telling us something is wrong in consciousness. Or that we have seen... I don't know if that's such a true statement. I think that the pain is more or less saying often that when, like, people say, I've been working in Christian Science and suddenly this error comes up and I don't know why. I've been working with a calculus of ideas. We know Mrs. Eddy says then that truth makes error less as we rise, then the error, the lifting off of the strengths of matter happen. But we know also that it can make error more to the retranslation. Principle presents what we are as idea. We understand the idea. It gives us the ascendancy tone. But it makes error more when it analyzes, uncovers the claim against the idea we just saw, huh? And then once it's uncovered, it's two-thirds destroyed. We know that technique when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And just as he leaves the temple, he encounters the man born blind. You see that often that when one, the Christ idea brings us the idea and simultaneously it uncovers any claim against that idea in our ascendancy. So basically then that we keep working with the calculus of ideas, and until there is pure consciousness, we accept the idea. When the idea is understood, it retranslates out the illusion. So it is making one. It's resolving duality, of course. Isolation is dissolved through the calculus of ideas. And it dissolves atomistic, one-dimensional thinking, which can always lead to difficulty. We'll talk about that a little later. Reductionism. It resolves all systems of false beliefs and so on. So I think we're pretty happy with that. Then let's take a look quickly here. And I think we've done most of our work here. On point two, we were pretty well coming along, seeing therefore of life, if on the level of science itself, I am life being its own infinite life. And therefore we see that on this level, death is unknown. And on the divine science level, then that capital life lives life. Life is operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, for the glory of itself. It never takes within itself any sense that anything is going on except the light of life. Therefore, death is excluded. There's no possibility. Or we see life on absolute Christian science, that life lives life. How? As always, the newness of life, the spontaneity of life, always the infinite calculus, which is always restructuring itself, always new. And we know that here, that the principle is presenting always new ideas right out of divine origin. So in that infinite matrix of infinity, that one mind is always presenting the new idea out of mind itself, through the channel of mind itself. The outcome is as mind itself, for the glory of mind itself. And that idea on the absolute Christian science level is always booming forth spontaneously, instantaneously, and immediately right out of divine origin. So we really should not be a rear view mirror society looking backwards for the present, but we look forward now. We see that the future is now. The nonlinear world that the scientists see, that is much more a future is now, a spontaneous now, instantaneous now, where the future determines the now. The higher order determines what happens now, because the idea is always coming out of that infinite matrix of immortality, coming out of the isness of life, and on the level of absolute Christian science, that level law of spontaneity, and it comes forth spontaneously, instantaneously, and immediately, right out of divine origin. So it means the idea is coming right out of origin itself. It has nothing to do with coming out of a psychological path. And that's why Rupert Sheldrake, the writer of Morphogenetic Fields, who wanted to show that the past determines the now, for example, like the genes are programming us now, or the whole universal collective unconscious beliefs determine the now, those archetypal beliefs can surface. And the Carl Jung, Joseph Campbell line of work always would say, well, what archetypal belief are you living today? Huh? What role are you playing? What archetypal images are you showing forth on the human mentality? But we see that, and even Rupert Sheldrake now is beginning to do research work in that non-linear, spontaneous realm. Being a physicist, is now working in with his concepts of the non-linear impact on the linear, the spontaneous out of divine origin. So we're always coming top down. The greater controls the lesser, so to speak. And there, the higher always determines what goes on the lower. The lower always gets its authority from a higher within a hierarchical structure. The lower never gets its lower value, doesn't get its authority from something even lower. It always gets. It's a hierarchy of the higher always determines what goes on in the lower. The higher laws are always determining what goes on in the lower. It's a downward causation, which is causing an upward flow. Okay, so we're working with the newness of life, the spontaneity of ideas, and therefore life, truth, and love make man undying, because we're always working from divine origin, from the newness of life. Those new ideas always keep us undying because they're always new, always new, always new, and they're always good. An idea cannot be evil. They're certainly not matter. An idea is the opposite of matter. They are the preventative practice. They handle the source of error, which are false universal, collective, and individual beliefs. They're solving positive problems, and their demonstration is always newness, progression, unfoldment of spiritual values. And therefore, that life that lives me, we live only the one life in spite of the body. Well, yes, until finally we can see that the body is not seen as matter, but is seen as spirit. And therefore, we have lift off the restraints of the definition of body as matter. We see it as spirit, but when I see it as spirit, it takes on a diviner form. And therefore, life spiritually discerned overcomes the belief of death, and good overcomes evil, because all we really see is that evil is just the misunderstanding of good. What we call evil is just a higher order of good not understood, because again, we're always going on within that holistic realm of being. We never leave it, that undivided whole. So it's only God good going on. And therefore, because it's only God good going on, evil is what? It's an unreality. It's a counterfeit. And therefore, if good is only going on and yet we seem to suffer, we know that Mrs. Eddy said that suffering is really an angel entertained unawares. So whenever we suffer, we always have to look forward and say, what is the higher order? And we know that usually suffering is such that we're making the transition from the old paradigm into the new paradigm, from the first degree into third degree. And we're in that transitional stage of the wilderness period, and therefore always we never look back. That's the example of Lot's wife. When she looked back, she turned to salt, didn't she? So the teachings are, when we get into that wilderness period, and we're in that chaos period, instead of being the rear view mirror society, as Marshall McLuhan says, we turn around and we look to the higher order, because it's a higher order that's beckoning us, the greater the complexity that's coming out in our life. And we look to what is it that life, truth, and love wants to bring us on a higher basis, on a higher order, that gives us more categories into our life. That's how being happens, through the input, process, output, and feedback. It always takes us higher to greater categories of definition that is going on behind our life. So it's something greater coming into our life, more categories of explanation, putting our life within a greater system of reference. It's not evil, it's good. But we don't like change. And none of us do. But if we do look for what that greater complexity is, it will explain more and more about our place value within the system. And it can never injure our useful surroundings in the travail of spiritual birth. But it may be that some other place value, some other circumstance is coming in, because higher categories in complexity is coming into our existence. And so we should anticipate it with joy. All right, so we see that victory over sin, sickness, and death. So I guess that generally is the tonality of the levels. Main point is it's a whole system. We never leave it. It always is operating for good because it is just a system of God, and God we now know is defined as good. Okay? All right, so let's take a look then at point three, what is the main difference between the ascending and descending aspect of the levels? All right, what is the ascending way? Well, how would we describe what looks like the ascending way? What do we call the ascending way? All right, the way of understanding. Yeah, all right, so the ascending way looks like it's the way of understanding that we go towards higher and higher complexity, and therefore that complexity is bringing in more categories, and the more categories it is bringing in, it's bringing in more information, and the more information we get takes us higher, doesn't it, into the realm of understanding. All right, so therefore, how would we describe the descending way? If the ascending way is towards higher and higher complexity and greater information, which gives us understanding, what would the descending way be like? All right, demonstration, because the higher we rise in understanding, that understanding has to have a demonstration. The two go together. When we understand, it's demonstrated. All right. Theory and practice are one. Anybody else want to say anything? Do we ascend before we descend, or do we descend before we ascend? Do we? Is that the impulse? Let's just say. Okay, let's see. Who said? Janice, did you say no? No. Betty said no. Oh, Betty. Hi, Jane. Hi, Betty. You said no. Okay, great. That's good. Now, what is it that we don't ascend first, Betty? Why would you say so? All right, the descending way always impels the ascending way. And we can see that, too, in Max's article, Is Man the Thinker or the Thought? Because in there he showed there that even the scientists see that those laws of life, truth, and love are really those laws that are thinking us. That life, truth, and love is our mind. And life, truth, and love is our spirit. And life, truth, and love is our soul. And life, truth, and love is our principal life, truth, and love. Therefore, always the higher is impelling us to go forward, that we are being thought that by the I Am. We see that very easily when we look at the ascending way in the ordered steps to oneness with being, where we can see that consciousness rises to that level of the I Am, and then therefore we see within being itself, it's just the I Am that I am on the science itself level, and on the divine science level, that I am is the I am of all. And on the absolute Christian science level, that I am is the infinite individual I ams. And therefore on the Christian science level, there is no personal I am. And therefore the I am is making our thoughts and its thoughts one. That one mind is thinking us, causing us to go forward. And we'll see that especially when we work with the word ordered law, where we see that that one mind which is operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for its glory of itself, it comes down as the law of life, truth, and love, which is our mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love on the word order. And that one mind, through the law of life, truth, and love, is really saying, I am mind, I am not mortal mind, therefore I am intelligence, and I come to the humanly objective as wisdom, which makes the human subjectively respond to that intelligence through the desire to know that mind as it is. So, you see, mind comes to us saying, I am mind, I am not mortal mind, I am intelligence, and I come to you as wisdom. We aren't so wise to ascend. It's because mind comes to us and seeks us as the intelligent mind having its impact on us to be wise. So it's the descent that causes the ascent. And otherwise, it's a condemnation of Adam to till the ground of thought tending spiritually upward. We think we do it. Okay. All right, good. So then we would say to ourselves, what would be missing if we considered only the level of Christian Science? What would we have if we considered only the level of Christian Science and none of the other levels? If we took it as a reductionist viewpoint and said we had nothing but the level of Christian Science, what would we... First of all, what would we be with a mentality that is just on the level of Christian Science? What kind of mentality would that be? Pragmatic. Okay, human, all right. A humanly pragmatic. And pragmatic is just, what would we say, Mary Jane? How would we perhaps define being pragmatic? Very practical. Okay, and... Yes, it would be also just going out always from being, always going out from just taking the level of apps of Christian Science by itself. We here are working with a consciousness of the mind which is God is my mind. I have no other mind than the mind which is God. But it's an early influx upward. When we take the 8 ordered steps to oneness with being, coming out of metaphysics into science, first of all, we have step 1, all is mental. Step 2, the mental can be good and evil. Step 3, thinking only in the ideas of the synonymous terms for God, but mentality is doing it. Step 4, once we think in the ideas of the synonymous terms for God, they begin to blend to give us a tones of the synonymous terms. And step 5, as we leave metaphysics into science, it shows that then we think in the tone mind, tone spirit, tone soul, tone principle, tone life, tone truth, tone love. But that mind which is God is my mind. I have no other mind than the mind which is God. It's not really ordinary metaphysics, is divine metaphysics. But when you isolate a scientific truth from everything else, it's no longer a scientific truth. I think Max shows that very well in his booklet, Truth and Scientific Truth. It can become a lie to the situation. It's a truth, but it can become a lie to it. Excuse me. It's taken out of its context, you see. And once you take it out of its context, it loses its value within the structure. And that's why Ellen wanted to call it metaphysics. Well, in a way, it's still divine metaphysics, but when you take the level of Christian Science out, it loses its value.